Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you once again for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Diana Salinas, who is in the Caring Friends Ministry at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. How are you, Diana?
Fine, thank you.
It's really a pleasure to have you here. I'm excited about our conversation. Before we get started, though, I usually like the listeners to get to know a little bit about you. Can you share a bit?
My name is Diana Salinas, and I'm married to Hector Salinas. We've been married 36 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have two children, Crystal and Melissa, and they're both also married, and we have five grandchildren through those beautiful sacraments of marriage. We've been parishioners at St. Patrick's now for 25 years, and it's a privilege for me to say that our entire family is involved in several ministries within parish and outside the parish, and our daughters both married there, so we've been around for a little while.
And you've been very blessed, and you still are very blessed with daughters and grandchildren as well. You said you had five?
Five, yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. How exciting. And you still look so young and beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Let me ask you, I'm curious, why are you involved in the Caring Friends Ministry? Well, let's go ahead and start with what is the Caring Friends Ministry and then why you got involved with it.
Caring Friends is a ministry that was created in 1994. We actually will be hitting our 20th anniversary pretty soon through Monsignor Freeman, who was a pastor at St. Patrick's at that time. And he felt the need to extend this bereavement luncheon is what we provide to help the families, the grieving families, when we have the loss of a loved one and we're dealing with that whole process, those few days of just trying to get through those days. And he felt that at that point that it would be an act of love, a gift of love, to have them have a group come together and serve the family, that luncheon where they could bring all their family and friends in and have a dinner together. A lot of times sometimes it's sad and sometimes it's a celebration of life. After that, it allows them to actually go home and begin the healing process. So at that point, 20 years ago, it was new, and we had just a small team. And these ladies would actually create the entire meal in their homes and go and deliver to the home of the grieving family. And 20 years later, things have changed. We have Monsignor Roger Smith now, who's very supportive of the ministry. And now we have six teams and over 100 volunteers registered. We invite the families back to our parish. We provide the catered lunch, and our volunteers also help us with additions of sides and desserts and whatnot. And it gives us an opportunity to recognize other parish members that maybe we've never met. And it's a very behind-the-scenes type ministry. It's not something that ministry that you'll come across very, very easily on a weekly basis. At this time, we have 1,600 registered families in our parish. In the last year and a half, we have served over 1,800 meals.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
We've serviced 36 families in the last 18 months. And it's amazing when I did my own research and went back how many families we had actually been able to be a part of that celebration, not of death, but of life. And we always want to look at that. For myself, when I had the experience of actually being a recipient, it was a time that was very difficult. I didn't even know it existed. And it's almost, it's hard to say that you have a ministry in your parish and you don't even know it exists until you have the opportunity to utilize it. And when the folks came to me and approached me with it, I was very touched. Having been involved in other ministries, this was just not one of them at the time. And that this was 5 years ago. My father was diagnosed with a terminal disease, and he was given less than a year. 10 months later, God called him home, and we began the process of dealing with the mourning and the grieving and whatnot. And it was a difficult time for my mother and my brothers and my sisters, but through the grace of God and our family and our parish family, this was one small area of the healing process. And it was amazing because, you know, just like family, your families, you have funerals and weddings, and that's usually the time that you reunite with a lot of your family and friends. And so when this came about, and it was introduced to me at that point, I just thought, well, that's a really wonderful ministry. And again, I had no idea. And so our family was able to be a recipient of that. During that time, during those 10 months of my father's illness, I had a calling in my heart that I wanted to come back and give back a lot of the generosity, the prayers, the folks that had come to us in our time of need. And I really felt it at that point. I just didn't know how I was going to come back. And a year and a half ago, I was approached in regards to caring friends, and I felt that this was a time. This was something that I had prayed for, and God had opened the door for me. So I get a lot of, I feel a great passion for it. It makes me feel that as individuals, we can actually give back. And, you know, just thinking back to Mother Teresa, and she so beautifully, when she stated, "At the heart of silence is prayer. At the heart of prayer is faith. And at the heart of faith is life. At the heart of life is service." And there's so many little things that we can do, and it's all those little things that we can do in the name of service that is actually in the name of love and the name of God. So it's just, I'm very honored to be a part of that ministry. But this is not a one-woman show. I mean, we have a great group of men and women. We have, again, over 100 registered volunteers. We have husbands and wives that are retired that come back and help serve and set up and clean up. We have ladies that have actually been part of the group for over 20 years, for the 20 years that it's existed. And so it's amazing to see how they've managed to remain faithful to this ministry and to comforting another family. We have there is one particular lady that's a part of our group, and she incorporates in her team, she always brings part of her family, her grandchildren, teenage grandchildren. And it's beautiful to see her introducing this act of kindness, this act of love to others. So this summer, I was able to share that same experience with my grandson. And he's 13 years old, and I had him come out with me to serve a family. And he was just taken by the act of love, the labors of love that he witnessed from all the ladies that were there and helping and preparing. And it was for days. We spoke of just that particular day and the emotions that he felt and how he wanted to come back and serve as well.
Sometimes we get rather blinded with the day-to-day things that we experience that we forget those acts of love that really fill our hearts. And it seems as though that's what your grandson experienced, that labor of love.
That labor of love. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, when we say labor of love, that's exactly what this ministry is, because these men and women take time out of their day. Some of them, you know, work, and they have children, and they have their everyday life activities, but they manage to put some time aside to come out and help us, or just to send us some of their food for the soul, as it is. But we have another young lady who's been in the ministry for the 20 years. And in that time, she's lost her husband and she's lost a son. And her life mission is to make an attempt to attend every single funeral mass that comes through our parish, whether she knows you or not, just to extend that prayer, that love. Now, that's amazing. She's a beautiful lady.
And that's quite a sacrifice. I'm excited to share with you and the listeners out there my experience of a ministry similar to this. Stay with us on Labors of Love. We are going to take a quick break.
This is Labors of Love.
It's called a come and see, and that's just what happens. Single Catholic women ages 17 to 30 are encouraged to come and see how nuns live, work, and pray. It's an opportunity to visit, pray, and reflect with the sisters about a vocation to consecrated life, and a chance to begin to discern, how do I know if God is calling me? Come and see events are set for the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament convents in Corpus Christi, Brownsville, and Edinburgh through April of 2013. For more information, call Sister Anna Marie Espinosa at 361-774-4910 or go online to iwbscc.org and check the Vocations tab. Maybe the time has come to get some answers.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Diana Salinas, who is a volunteer with the Caring Friends Ministry at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. We've had a great conversation about how this ministry helps people in time of need. And I really wanted to share with you, Diana, and the listeners, an experience that I had actually this year and a few months ago when my grandmother passed away. She was admitted into the hospital, and a couple of months later she passed away. And that was a very difficult time in my life. But I had a good friend that said, you know what, how about we provide the meal when you all are done with the rosary and when you come back? And I said, well, that would be wonderful. I didn't realize, first of all, that that was a custom that we participated in, to bring everyone together to have a meal. I sometimes can't even imagine that you would do that when you're grieving so heavily. But it's important that everyone come back. And of course, we need to eat. And the last thing we need to worry about is who's going to give us food? Where are we going to have this grand occasion with so many different people? What's the location? Who's going to clean up? Some of us just want to go to a corner and cry. And so there's a lot of different things going on in our minds. But I had this friend that came and said, we are going to provide the meal for you. We are going to provide all the silverware. We're going to provide all the drinks, desserts too. Where are you going to have your meal? And we will even deliver it and we'll set it up. And I said, well, that would be wonderful. Do I need to be there to open for you? No, just give me the key. I will be there and we'll be out of your way when you all get there. And sure enough, when we were done with the rosary, we went back and everything was set up for all of us to eat. And we didn't have to worry about it. And that was so important to all of my family because we were too concerned and overwhelmed with my grandmother having left us. So this is a very unique but necessary ministry, and I can definitely vouch for that, and you can as
Absolutely.
Well. Are there any experiences that really stick to you that you remember within this past year or so where families are just so grateful for receiving this type of ministry?
We do. We have so many families that have been very grateful. Many of them have asked to pay it forward. They've asked to become part of our ministry, wanting to get more information. Some make monetary donations, which is not required. With our particular ministry, our volunteers, we have a team leader. We have six teams, and a team leader will contact her team members and ask for side dishes. And because now we've gotten to a point where we're very blessed to be able to receive the services of a fully catered meal from one of the local barbecue houses here in town. And so everything is taken care of from them as far as paper goods, drink, tea, the entire meal. So our volunteers will then provide the desserts and maybe some salads or whatnot. But we have the ladies that come in. Right now, all of our meals are being hosted in the youth center, and very soon, we will be expanding to our new facility, and hopefully, we'll be breaking ground pretty soon with that. And we can't wait because we'll be able to accommodate larger groups. Right now, we're a little limited on size, but our volunteers do come in, clean up the youth center, set up the tables, you know, put everything out, be ready to receive the food as it's coming in, set it up, actually serve the meals, greet the family as they're coming in, wait for them to say their goodbyes, have their meal, and just be there for them. Many times we're able to send home leftover meals and desserts and whatnot, and then they stay behind to clean up. And this can take anywhere from usually 4 hours, sometimes even longer. And that's such a gift, a labor of love, because, you know, they're coming out, taking time out of their day to be here to do this, to provide this act of generosity to the family. And we always have grace before the meal. Either one of the family members, if not one of the clergy, will come out and begin the meal with grace. And then the families just join in. And
So you don't necessarily need to have a grand talent to be a chef or know how to cook.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's
not
a catered meal. You really just need the time to offer
the time
every once in a while. If you have a busy schedule, and just be committed to greeting the people that are there. And again, this is a sensitive time for them, so there needs to be a certain quality about you to where you can greet these people in this sensitive time.
Yes, and then, you know, because our volunteers range from, we can have from teenagers to, you know, to experienced members of our parish.
Very well said.
I was going to say seasoned, but so, you know, we have a wide range of groups, and we have some teams that are a little larger than others, but definitely no talent. I mean, if you make the best banana cake there is out there, like Miss Olivia, then please bring it on. If, you know, you make be a salad, and then again, you may not be able to or have the resources to make a meal, but you want to come out and just be there to serve.
That's just as good.
That's just as good. Because we're blessed to have this full catered meal, that's eliminated a lot of the stress of trying to make sure that we have enough sides and not too many of one thing and not enough of the other. And so this has really cut that out. So you definitely do not have to have any talent. Just be willing to give a little of yourself, a little of your love, a little of your time. And that's really what this ministry is about. It's really a part of the new evangelization that we were speaking of, where during the Centennial Mass, and we were blessed to have been able to be a part of and listen to Timothy Cardinal Dolan on the new evangelization. And he speaks on how the new evangelization must be a person of joy. And someone who smiles. The new evangelization is about love, the love of God made concrete in service. And it's when we give of ourselves in the slightest way, and we don't sometimes realize that gentle smile, that hello, how are you, that service, that's a ministry of its own. That's an act of love. It's a labor of love. And I'm just very, very excited and very happy to be a part of it. I welcome anyone that is out there that might want to start a group or be a part of ours. We're always willing to take on new members.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Cardinal Dolan and the new evangelization, and the fact that he says we need to be people of joy. We need to be people who smile, especially during this difficult time in the life of someone who has just lost a loved one. All we need are smiles. We can use some food, that's great, but that smile from that person that opens the door for us, that shakes our hand, that gives us a hug. Now, you mentioned that there's some young people that volunteer. You have some teenagers. That's special to see, too. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
It is. Again, we have one team member that has a couple of teenager grandchildren. And if they're not in school and the time is allows itself, she will have them come with her. And they get in there and they know the routine. They knew it better than I did when I first started. They knew exactly what to do and where things go and how to set up the tables. And it was amazing to see that. So I definitely feel this is a ministry that should be open to them. Many of us don't experience the grieving process or the loss of a loved one until we're older, and then for them to come back and see that at their tender age, I think will prepare them, because I wasn't prepared when I lost my father. That was the closest individual that I had experienced a loss with, besides my grandfather that passed away about 30 years before that. So during that 30-year gap, I didn't know. And having dealt with that was an experience. It was a beautiful experience, painful, but I take joy in the way that everything fell together for him, and that God called him home and allowed us to be a part of that, not a celebration of death, but a celebration of life.
Diana, if there are some people, some of our listeners that are grieving, or if they know of a loved one that is suffering, what advice or what words of wisdom would you share with them?
Faith. Remain faithful and always know in your heart that it's all God's will. And you, in time, you will be healed. And it's through our prayers. He sees our tears, he hears our prayers, and he will heal us. He will heal our hearts. And many times I really strongly believe that if you become a part of being a servant, then that will be a part of your healing process.
Diana, thank you so much for being with us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments coming up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Have you ever thought about the ways breathing is used in movies? In action films, we hear the breathing of both the good and bad guys, whether they are giving chase or hiding. Many times, we only hear the breath of the good guys. The bad ones tend to lurk or stalk in silence. But when they strike, it is almost always with a loud, exhaled voice that sounds more animal than human. If you remember Darth Vader's voice, you might also remember the sinister sound of his breathing. In most horror films, the breathing of the victim heightens as danger comes nearer and nearer until the moment of the scream. In one way, breathing has replaced the old hat trick used in many early westerns, in which the good guys wore light-colored hats while the bad guys wore black. And let us not forget about love stories. We're all too familiar with the breathing patterns used to signify the level of involvement and intimacy between characters on both TV and the big screen. Perhaps the most dramatic use of breathing in film is found in the novellas and soap operas, which captivate so many of us in our daily lives. Producers have learned exactly which type of breathing conveys the exact emotion they want to portray. They utilize the sound of human breathing to arouse emotions ranging from lust to love, from excitement to fear and anger. Finally, breathing is used to portray different forms of death. There is the death of the hero or heroine, the death of the innocent bystander or a child. There are gentle and violent deaths as well as farewells between lovers. All in all, writers and producers have sought to corner the market on human emotion by relying in great part on the act of breathing. We might do well to remember that these film portrayals of human life are just that, portrayals that glamorize, exaggerate, and to some degree distort the reality of life. All too often, especially in film, we make everything about us, about how we feel and what we desire. We focus on the immediate wants without considering the bigger picture. We get caught up in the emotions of life and try to act accordingly. As Jesus told the Pharisees in the Gospel of Matthew, from the beginning it was not so. In the beginning, in Genesis, we are told, the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. How more intimate or up close could one get than to blow breath into another's nostrils? Breath is of God and from God. It is his gift to humanity that sets us apart from the rest of creation, for man alone received this gift. It is the gift of God's breath that elevates us and gives us a share in his image and likeness. What could be a more powerful statement of God's care for us than the gift of breath? And yet we take that very sign of human dignity, breathing, and cheapen it to glorify ourselves in film without giving credit to the author of life. Let us appreciate the true gift of being human, of being made in God's image and likeness. May we seek to breathe in the fullness of life rather than escaping into a life seen through distorted lenses. After all, every breath is indeed a gift from God. May he bless us daily with the gift of breath. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Diana Salinas, with Caring Friends Ministry. If you would like more information about Caring Friends Ministry, or you would like to volunteer yourself, please visit stpatrickchurchcc.org or give them a call at 361-855-7391. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.